This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, a UN migration expert advises Angola to come up with a new refugee policy as a matter of urgency, and alarm over Kenya's decision to close refugee camps as soon as possible, affecting as many as 600,000 asylum seekers. But first, traditional leaders in South Sudan are being called upon by the UN to promote peace and reconciliation as people return to their homes following conflict. The African country is beginning to emerge from 2 years of brutal conflict after the formation of a unity government. Thousands of South Sudanese who fled their homes are now returning. The UN mission in the country, UNMISS, organised a workshop in Bentiu town in the north of the country to encourage traditional leaders to play a key role in ensuring a peaceful return. Jacob Ruai has been speaking to UNMISS civil affairs officer Salifu Kamara.
More than 50 traditional leaders, including women and the youth, they were there. One of the topics we treated was conflict management, and then conflict transformation, and then the understanding of the compromise peace agreement, and then reconciliation. We targeted these topics because it was a devastated area during the conflict. More than 90% of the people left the Payam, and then they came to the POC site in Bentiu. So they have started returning, and then because the population is increasing, as a result, we expect some social issues to start coming up. So we decided to target the traditional leaders because they will be the people under pressure, and they will be the people that will start to manage some of this conflict that will be emerging from the community. So these are the topics we treated.
Why do you think this is very important at this time in South Sudan?
This is one of the most important time we are supposed to be taking this message to the people returning to their original places. As some of the traditional leaders, they said yesterday was the first workshop that they are able to explore some of the root causes of conflict at local level. We are also going to all the other places where people have started returning so that they will continue to enhance their capacity, will strengthen the resilience of traditional leaders and even youth, civil society organizations to manage conflicts, to manage expectations. Without them, we cannot do our work. They are our main interlocutors, so we are meeting them so that we continue to engage them, so that they are also trying to engage their own community. When they left, some of them, they left their livelihood, they have left their plantation, they have left their foods, and they have not met anything again. So some of these issues start coming up, and they are in position to settle all those issues.
Angola is being asked to develop an all-inclusive strategy for migrants in the country, many of whom are from neighbouring states. The appeal has been made by a UN expert on the human rights of migrants who has completed an 8-day visit to the country. François Crépeau said undocumented migrants, asylum seekers and refugees in Angola are continuously harassed and intimidated by the police. They're also arrested regularly and detained in large numbers. He told Amina Hassan how the authorities can create a more secure environment for these people.
The idea is to have a comprehensive migration strategy. A few points are very important in the short term. First of all, to quickly implement the law that was adopted in 2015 about the asylum law, which establishes a new refugee determination system. The former refugee determination system was abolished a year ago, but the new system has not been put in place. For the moment, there's a legal gap. No one can be recognized as a refugee. So this gap has to be closed very quickly. And also to improve oversight and especially have independent oversight mechanisms on the detention of migrants. Detention in prisons or detention in immigration detention centers. So there's a series of avenues that I think the Angolan authorities should explore in order to create a more secure environment for asylum seekers, refugees, and migrants, and also for them to better control their borders by increasing the availability of visas to come and look for work. If we could have visa facilitation and visa liberalization with neighboring countries and then with other countries, I think this would increase considerably the control that the Angolan authorities exercise on borders.
Which migrants from which neighboring countries are mostly affected?
There's one group of migrants which is very specific And I was told that by the Minister of Geology and Mines that in the diamond fields in Lunda Norte, Lunda Sur, there would be 300,000 Congolese citizens working irregularly in the informal diamond mining business. And that is the problem, because diamond mining is a restricted business and should be only done by authorized and licensed organizations. So what the government is trying to do is to expand the geographical reach of cooperatives of miners in order to restrict the informal sector geographically. So that's a good thing. But there is an issue about the 300,000 Congolese citizens who are working in this informal sector and who are often arrested, detained, and deported quite quickly. In cities like Luanda, it's a completely different situation. You often have asylum seekers who have difficulty being recognized as refugees or have difficulty obtaining papers that they can show to the police when the police ask them for their papers. You have refugees, often refugees who've been in Angola for several years, if not several decades. And those refugees may also have difficulty having their papers renewed, and that's another kind of difficulty. But one thing that all migrants were quite unanimous to say was to say that they may have difficulties with Angolan authorities, but they've never had difficulty with the Angolan population, that they have found in the Angolan population quite a lot of solidarity and warmth.
The announcement by the Kenyan government that it's to close refugee camps is profoundly concerning and needs to be reconsidered, the UN said on Monday. The government says the security challenges of hosting so many refugees, mainly from Somalia, have become intolerable, according to news reports. As many as 600,000 people could be affected by the decision to end hosting for asylum seekers, according to the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. It's now in talks with Kenyan authorities in an effort to ensure the ongoing safety of those in Dadaab and Kakuma camps, as UNHCR's Nora Sturm told Daniel Johnson.
Our main message here is that we are appealing to the government of Kenya to reconsider its decision to end its hosting of refugees, which it has been doing now for over 25 years. And we're just asking the government of Kenya to avoid taking any action that could be at odds with its international obligations and to continue protecting hundreds of thousands of refugees living on Kenyan territory.
So you say hundreds of thousands, and in fact 600,000 from your press release. Where are these people from? Where will they go?
That's right. So most of the refugees in Kenya are Somalis, but there's also a significant South Sudanese refugee population living in Kenya right now. The majority of the South Sudanese are in Kakuma camp in the northwest, and the Somalis are in Dadaab.
So they have no chance of going home because there's civil war and ongoing fighting in South Sudan, and the Somalis, they are facing violence as well and persecution. So do you have any sense of when this decision by the Kenyan government might be enacted to close the camps?
Indeed, the situations in both Somalia and South Sudan are critical, and the refugees cannot be returned there. We don't have at this point a sense of when this decision, if it is implemented, will come into effect. So we're very much hoping that the government of Kenya will continue to offer all the generosity and protection it has offered for the past 25 years to these refugees.
Is UNHCR talking to the Kenyan government for any other kind of way to integrate these refugees? Because as you say, they are really well away from the urban centres. Perhaps there's a sense from the Kenyan government, I don't know, that they're just not getting anywhere.
We are. Our Kenyan office is in touch on a regular basis with the authorities, generally speaking, but also on the statement that was issued last Friday, more specifically. So as you know, there's different ways of providing a durable solution to the plight of a refugee, and that could include voluntary return to their countries of origin. But the issue there is that it has to be voluntary and has to be done in safety and dignity. Another option is local integration inside the country, in this case, Kenya. So we are in discussion with the government of looking at ways of developing settlements in Kenya that would benefit both the refugees and the local population.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org or also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.